You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. You'll hear someone giving a lecture to a group of parents about keeping children safe in water. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
This week, the temperature across the country will be hitting 30 degrees and above, so jumping in the pool sounds like a pretty good idea, right? But if you have little kids, you need to know that a swimming pool can be an extremely risky place for them. So I'm really glad to be invited here today to talk to you about keeping your children safe in the water. Oh, and if you want more information afterwards, I have copies of a fact sheet from the Royal Life Saving Society here, and you can also visit our website. The address is printed on the back. To most parents, teaching very small kids to swim isn't a high priority, so I'd like to start by quoting the old saying, prevention is better than cure. In other words, teach your child to swim as soon as possible. You can take your baby to the pool when it's as young as 3 months. By the age of 6 months, the child should be able to begin having lessons. After that, you should take your child to the swimming pool as often as possible. What's important is to get them used to the water. After a few lessons, even very young children can be taught to just roll over and float on their backs, blow bubbles, and generally enjoy life. That means that if they do fall in a pool accidentally, they're not afraid, and they have a good chance of staying alive until an adult finds them. Of course, as parents, you can do much more. Make sure someone is always supervising children around the pool. Take your children to public pools which have trained lifeguards. And if your child goes to a friend's pool, always check to see that there are enough supervisors. As a rule, there should be one supervising adult for every 4 kids under 8. And there's a simple message to tell your kids. If there's no adult around, you can't go near the water. Talking of private pools, swimming pools in people's homes, I mean, these should be your biggest worry in the summer months. More than 10 times as many water-related accidents happen at home than at public pools. By law, you must have a securely fastened fence around the pool. It's also a good idea to have a backdoor alarm that makes a loud sound if your child ever decides to explore outside by him or herself. When you go to the beach, you have to be extra careful. Always, and I really do mean always, keep an eye on your child. A small child can get into trouble even in small waves. Also, avoid all those kind of blow-up toys that kids love. They may be fun, but they can easily be blown out to sea. And this may seem an obvious thing to say, but you'd be amazed how many people ignore it. Never, I repeat, never swim when the red flag is flying. Apart from that, have a great time at the beach.
Now you'll hear again.
This week, the temperature across the country will be hitting 30 degrees and above, so jumping in the pool sounds like a pretty good idea, right? But if you have little kids, you need to know that a swimming pool can be an extremely risky place for them. So I'm really glad to be invited here today to talk to you about keeping your children safe in the water. Oh, and if you want more information afterwards, I have copies of a fact sheet from the Royal Life Saving Society here, and you can also visit our website. The address is printed on the back. To most parents, teaching very small kids to swim isn't a high priority, so I'd like to start by quoting the old saying, prevention is better than cure. In other words, teach your child to swim as soon as possible. You can take your baby to the pool when it's as young as 3 months. By the age of 6 months, the child should be able to begin having lessons. After that, you should take your child to the swimming pool as often as possible. What's important is to get them used to the water. After a few lessons, even very young children can be taught to just roll over and float on their backs, blow bubbles, and generally enjoy life. That means that if they do fall in a pool accidentally, they're not afraid, and they have a good chance of staying alive until an adult finds them. Of course, as parents, you can do much more. Make sure someone is always supervising children around the pool. Take your children to public pools which have trained lifeguards. And if your child goes to a friend's pool, always check to see that there are enough supervisors. As a rule, there should be one supervising adult for every 4 kids under 8. And there's a simple message to tell your kids. If there's no adult around, you can't go near the water. Talking of private pools, swimming pools in people's homes, I mean, these should be your biggest worry in the summer months. More than 10 times as many water-related accidents happen at home than at public pools. By law, you must have a securely fastened fence around the pool. It's also a good idea to have a backdoor alarm that makes a loud sound if your child ever decides to explore outside by him or herself. When you go to the beach, you have to be extra careful. Always, and I really do mean always, keep an eye on your child. A small child can get into trouble even in small waves. Also, avoid all those kind of blow-up toys that kids love. They may be fun, but they can easily be blown out to sea. And this may seem an obvious thing to say, but you'd be amazed how many people ignore it. Never, I repeat, never swim when the red flag is flying. Apart from that, have a great time at the beach.
You'll hear 5 different people talking about exercise. Choose from the list A to F which statement applies to each person. Use the letters only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Speaker 1.
Although at my age, some people might expect me to be sitting in a comfortable chair knitting socks, I like more than anything to get out and train. I'm in the middle of quite a vigorous training schedule, and I would love to compete for Britain, maybe in the triathlon or something with a bit of variety. Seems a bit crazy having all these ambitions at 70, but I've never really been your typical stay-at-home grandmother. I'd rather go for a jog round the village than stay in the kitchen baking cakes. Maybe I'm mad. What I'd love to do is get a group of all us old-age pensioners together and start training them, a sort of keep fit for the aged.
Speaker 2.
I firmly believe that the body is a temple, so I actually regulate very carefully what goes into mine and what I do with it. Well, I swim 2 miles a day before work, and after I get home from the office, I work out in the gym for about 2 or 3 hours. At weekends, when I have more time, I like nothing more than to go for a long run. It really helps me to think and get all the week's events and problems into perspective. I guess exercise can be a bit like a drug. It does give me a high. My friends sometimes complain that I don't have enough time for them because I'd rather be down at the gym. But if I want to stay looking this good, I think it's a small price to pay.
Speaker 3.
I'm out every weekend with the boys. We kick a ball around and we also organise games with some of the other local clubs. I suppose we've got a mini-league going, really. It's fun, because we're all mates. We've known each other for years, and so it means we get to see each other regularly. If we're playing a match, then All the wives and kids come along and cheer us on. None of us are really fit. I mean, look at me. I'm hardly what you call in great shape. We just do it for a bit of a laugh. I don't think we'd enjoy it so much if we got serious and competitive. It's just fun getting out and running around a pitch. Keeps us feeling young, I suppose.
Speaker 4.
Every day we're sent outside, even when it's freezing cold, to play hockey or football or whatever. For 2 hours we're made to stand there in our shorts or run up and down. I hate it. I've tried getting doctor's notes to say I can't play, but it makes no difference. The teachers say that doing sport is character building, but I say it's character destroying. I'd so much rather be sitting somewhere warm, reading or watching TV or, you know, exercising the mind. When I get into the sixth form, sports won't be compulsory anymore, and on that day I'm going to celebrate. Yeah, okay, so some people actually enjoy sport, but surely if you don't like it, you shouldn't have to do it.
Speaker 5.
The doctor says I should try to get regular exercise, you know, a bit every day. That's why I got the dog, so I could take it for long walks. It gets me out of the house, really. My condition's not serious. The specialists say I could live for another 50 years. I didn't really have an active life before the attack, but it really scared me. And now I'm out and about walking, and sometimes I even do a bit of swimming. I don't watch TV so much anymore. I suppose I'm worried I'll slip back into bad habits.
Now you'll hear part 3 again. Speaker 1.
Although at my age, some people might expect me to be sitting in a comfortable chair knitting socks, I like more than anything to get out and train. I'm in the middle of quite a vigorous training schedule, and I would love to compete for Britain, maybe in the triathlon or something with a bit of variety. Seems a bit crazy having all these ambitions at 70, but I've never really been your typical stay-at-home grandmother. I'd rather go for a jog round the village than stay in the kitchen baking cakes. Maybe I'm mad. What I'd love to do is get a group of all us old age pensioners together and start training them, a sort of keep fit for the aged.
Speaker 2.
I firmly believe that the body is a temple, so I actually regulate very carefully what goes into mine and what I do with it. Well, I swim 2 miles a day before work, and after I get home from the office, I work out in the gym for about 2 or 3 hours. At weekends, when I have more time, I like nothing more than to go for a long run. It really helps me to think and get all the week's events and problems into perspective. I guess exercise can be a bit like a drug. It does give me a high. My friends sometimes complain that I don't have enough time for them because I'd rather be down at the gym. But if I want to stay looking this good, I think it's a small price to pay.
Speaker 3.
I'm out every weekend with the boys. We kick a ball around and we also organise games with some of the other local clubs. I suppose we've got a mini league going, really. It's fun, because we're all mates. We've known each other for years, and so it means we get to see each other regularly. If we're playing a match, then all the wives and kids come along and cheer us on. None of us are really fit. I mean, look at me. I'm hardly what you call in great shape. We just do it for a bit of a laugh. I don't think we'd enjoy it so much if we got serious and competitive. It's just fun getting out and running around a pitch. Keeps us feeling young, I suppose.
Speaker 4.
Every day we're sent outside, even when it's freezing cold, to play hockey or football or whatever. For 2 hours we're made to stand there in our shorts or run up and down. I hate it. I've tried getting doctor's notes to say I can't play, but it makes no difference. The teachers say that doing sport is character building, but I say it's character destroying. I'd so much rather be sitting somewhere warm, reading or watching TV or, you know, exercising the mind. When I get into the sixth form, sports won't be compulsory anymore, and on that day I'm going to celebrate. Yeah, okay, so some people actually enjoy sport, but surely if you don't like it, you shouldn't have to do it.
Speaker 5.
The doctor says I should try to get regular exercise. You know, a bit every day. That's why I got the dog. So I could take it for long walks. It gets me out of the house, really. My condition's not serious. The specialists say I could live for another 50 years. I didn't really have an active life before the attack, but it really scared me. And now I'm out and about walking, and sometimes I even do a bit of swimming. I don't watch TV so much anymore. I suppose I'm worried I'll slip back into bad habits.
That's the end